This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, A Portrait of George Washington.
Despite the fact that, yes, he was dignified, Washington did have a sense of humor. You know where it came out? Well, it came out on his farm on Mount Vernon. It's a farm, by the way, he inherited from his half-brother, Lawrence, who he adored. The brother he tried to nurse back to health from tuberculosis, who died after they worked together in Barbados. Washington, like other farmers, was particularly amused by the mating habits of some of his domestic animals. And he was particularly delighted with one creature, a prize jackass, who had been presented to him by the King of Spain. And Washington named this jack, as it was called, Royal Gift. And here's a letter that Washington wrote to Lafayette. This is after he left the presidency. "The jack I have already received from Spain in appearance is fine, but his late royal master, though past his grand climacteric, cannot be less moved by female allurements than he is, or, when prompted, can proceed with more deliberation and majestic solemnity to the matter of procreation." In a similar vein, Washington later wrote to a neighbor who patronized the Mount Vernon stud farm, "Particular attention should be paid to the mares which your servant brought, and when my jack is in humor, they shall derive all the benefits of his labor, for labor to him it appears to be." There's a sense of humor there, perhaps on a subject that you wouldn't necessarily expect. What about the very big question? George Washington and slavery. Such a remarkable man. How could he have been a slaveholder? When he died, he owned 300 human beings. Does that not raise questions about his actual moral stature? George Washington, perhaps the greatest of all Americans, has had his name removed from a school in New Orleans because he was a slaveholder, and he was. Washington's attitude toward slavery, very different from Jefferson's, and his record, very, very different, and actually extraordinarily inspiring. How can you say that a slaveholder had an inspiring record? Because he was willing to lose a great deal of money, to make very major sacrifices, to act upon his belief that slavery was an absolute wrong. We need to talk a little bit about what happened after his death, because after his death, his slaves were freed. Why did he wait till his death? Why not? You have 300 people who work for you, who you own. Why not free them at the time? It's complicated. Washington's opposition to slavery was very clear, and he never, Jefferson, later in his life, justified slavery with all kinds of racist theories about Africans being innately inferior. Washington never wrote or spoke a word like that. All we know is what he said, for instance, to an English visitor. This is before he became president. He said, "I clearly foresee that nothing but the rooting out of slavery can perpetuate the existence of our Union by consolidating it in a common bond of principle." And to Edmund Randolph, his first Attorney General and later Secretary of State, he said that if the Union should separate between North and South on the issue of slavery, "I have made up my mind to move and be of the Northern." Washington recognized that slavery was a positive evil. But one of the reasons he didn't free his slaves while he was alive is because, unlike most slave owners, where slavery made marriage illegal, he encouraged his slaves to marry. In fact, virtually all the slaves who we have records of living at Mount Vernon were married, and their marriages were written down, and they were honored. But what this meant was that he couldn't sell any of the slaves off or free them because they were married, in many cases, with Martha's slaves. Now, you say, what about Martha's slaves? Yeah, Martha maintained her own property through life. She brought a great deal of property to the marriage. There were a couple of things that you have to understand. First of all, when Washington was a boy, slavery was not only universally accepted, not only was it legal everywhere in North America, it was legal all around the world. And it wasn't just slavery of black people. Slavery, not invented for blacks, stretches back to the beginnings of human history. It was just considered a natural part of life. When Washington was a young man, the anti-slavery movement began in earnest in England and spread to America, and he was caught up with it. He clearly found slavery to be repugnant, and yet he had this difficulty, which is it was impossible in his part of Virginia to get non-slaves to work the farms. There weren't such people. Basically, slave labor had done what Lincoln always feared it would do if it were extended to the territories. It had chased out the idea of white people, or free blacks for that matter, and there were many free blacks, from working as farmhands and taking wages. It was one of those things where he simply didn't understand or conceive of a way that he could operate Mount Vernon without the slaves. Here's what he wrote while he was president to his friend David Humphreys. The unfortunate condition of the persons whose labors I in part employed has been the only unavoidable subject of regret. To make the adults among them as easy and comfortable as their actual state of ignorance and improvidence would admit, and to lay a foundation to prepare the rising generation for a destiny different from that in which they were born, afford some satisfaction to my mind, and could not, I hoped, be displeasing to the justice of the Creator. One of the things that he did was he made a rule that, unlike other Virginians and other southern slave owners, no slave would ever be sold off from Mount Vernon. The only chance where slaves would be removed from Mount Vernon would be at their request. But that almost never happened, because Washington was known to be a kindly master. Now, this may sound like a small thing. It was a very big deal. Jefferson, for instance, kept financially afloat, to some extent, by breeding slaves and selling off young teenagers, separating families. Washington never did that. And that was why, of the 300 slaves that were part of his estate when he died, 300 slaves total, some of them owned by Martha, technically her property. She died 2.5 years after George. Some of them owned by George. Most of them were either elderly or small children. They were people Washington was supporting. They cost a good deal of money. Eventually, he kept tormenting over this and trying to figure out how to deal with it. He came up with an idea which he thought would get him out of this difficulty. Part of the problem for anyone is so much of a big part of your property, of what you owned, were these people. A slave was equal in price to 3,000 pounds of tobacco, which, of course, is a lot of earning. A slave was equal in price to a several-acre lot. You could buy several acres of land for what it would cost to buy a slave. So how do you keep yourself afloat and still get rid of this institution that you loathe? What Washington did was he had an idea that after he left the presidency, he would turn over his land to tenant farmers, divide it up to white tenant farmers, and then have the white tenant farmers employ the slaves, pay them as free workers, and then once they were working as free workers and had a life, Washington could free them. The only problem was that the white tenant farmers that he wanted to bring there, he couldn't rent his property to for enough money to keep himself afloat. He was very worried, particularly toward the end of his life. He had neglected his estate, he had neglected his financial affairs because he was running a war as general-in-chief of the Continental Army. And then, of course, he was running a country as our president for 2 terms. The difficulties he had, eventually he decided that there was nothing to do other than to stop temporizing.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, A Portrait of George Washington. For more history shows, check out MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Hi, Michael. Best show on the radio.
Thank you.
Yours is a thinking person's talk show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks. We try.
We'll be right back.
long should kids have to stay in a dangerous or failing school? In Washington, thousands of kids are assigned to chronically failing schools because they live in the wrong zip code. Michael Medved here for Washington Policy Center. If your child is stuck in a school that isn't helping them fulfill their full potential, shouldn't you have the right to find the educational environment that can? The purpose of public education is to educate children, not to maintain a specific delivery system. Go to FundStudentsFirst.com. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, Medhead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, A Portrait of George Washington. For more history shows, check out MedvedHistoryStore.com.
What he wrote to Tobias Lear, his secretary, and this is a document that was marked private because he was terrified that some of his neighbors in Virginia would see it and would be outraged because he was doing something they were not doing. He said, "I am animated by a motive more powerful than all the rest, and that is to liberate a certain species of property which I possess, very repugnantly to my feelings, but which imperious necessity compels. and until I can substitute some other expedient by which expenses, not in my power to avoid, however well disposed I may be to do it, can be defrayed. His intention was again to bring these renters in, but when he didn't do that, he decided that he would move forward anyway. Having failed to establish a way to assure the adult slaves some employment congenial to their situation and experience, he saw no choice but to free them out of hand. So, in his will, he required his heirs to make sure that all who were old or infirm would be comfortably clothed and fed while they live, and he did his best to protect his former slaves from the bad guys who roamed the South, kidnapping free blacks for sale further south or to the West Indies. He specified that none, under any pretext whatsoever, could ever be transported out of Virginia. But all of this failed to ensure that the black workers thrown unprepared into freedom would not be worse off than before. He specified in his will that children whose parents could not or would not take care of them were to be supported until they were old enough to be legally bound as if they were white apprentices. They were to serve until the age of 25, be taught to read and write, and brought up to some useful occupation agreeable to the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, providing for the support of orphan and other poor children. They were thus not to be discriminated against, but gathered into the white world as if they were not black. After he died, Abigail Adams visited Martha down on Mount Vernon and saw her struggling with trying to make her husband's will actual. And they did it. They freed all of the slaves. Many of them absolutely refused to leave Mount Vernon. By the way, what's interesting is while Washington was very much alive, while he was president, he quietly freed a number of his slaves by bringing them with him to Philadelphia, which was the capital. There was a rule that if you stayed in Philadelphia, which had a Quaker influence at the time, for more than 6 months as a slave, then you were freed. Washington deliberately freed some of his slaves that way, including his favorite slave, who was a slave called Hercules, who always dressed in a dress uniform and was Washington's favorite cook. For the first several years of his presidency, he used to transport Hercules back down to Virginia for a couple of days every 6 months so that Hercules wouldn't be freed. But then he recognized that was unacceptable. And eventually, in the middle of Washington's presidency, the president's cook was freed and went away and went his own way. We don't know to history what became of him. Was Washington stained by the tremendous moral evil of slavery? Of course he was. Anyone who had any contact with slavery or slave owning was. But absolutely no whispers about Washington beating or taking sexual advantage of his slaves or in any way maltreating them. And the anguish that he expended late in his life to trying to provide for the slaves after his death was quite remarkable and very, very different from his neighbors. David, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
I thought I heard you say that Washington was the only president who led troops in a battle as president. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Madison lead troops in the War of 1812?
I don't believe that he did. He certainly was the president during the War of 1812. As you may know, he and Dolly left the White House behind. They left Washington when General Cockburn came over here and burned Washington and burned the White House. I will tell you that Madison did not fight. Monroe fought with great distinction in the Revolution, James Monroe. He was wounded at the Battle of Trenton with George Washington. Madison was in the Continental Congress and on the political side in the American Revolution. He was a very frail man. He was also about 5'3". I kind of doubt that he was ever much of a battlefield commander. I'll tell you, the other interesting thing about Washington is after he left the presidency, the year before he died, he again became General-in-Chief of our armies. John Adams, his successor, appointed George Washington to organize a major army to defend the country against a French invasion that they expected. And Washington did that. He appointed generals behind him. He got a new uniform. He was sick. He was old. But he was ready to fight. Hey, I appreciate your call, David. Thank you. Let us go to Paul in Bellingham. Paul, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi there. There was another story that I had read about George Washington that I thought was pretty amusing. I think this took place during the Constitutional Convention. There was some kind of a reception, and Alexander Hamilton was chatting with someone else who I think might have been Gouverneur Morris, and he said to him, "I'll buy you a dinner. All you have to do is go up to General Washington, just clap him on the back and say to him, 'Well, my good general, how goes it today?'" Morris did that. He came back, he got the dinner, but he told Hamilton, he said, "The look that the general gave me says I wouldn't do that again no matter how much you offered me."
I'll tell you something. It sounds wrong, and I'll tell you why. Because Gouverneur Morris was also close to Washington and knew him well.
I might have the wrong name there. I know Alexander Hamilton was the instigator.
Well, Hamilton was definitely had a most complicated relationship with Washington. Hamilton's father had abandoned Hamilton and his mother when they were very young. Hamilton was illegitimate, and Washington became a surrogate father for him. Washington had that kind of relationship with Lafayette as well. But it was a very complicated father-son relationship. So I can believe that Hamilton did this. It doesn't sound right that it would be Gouverneur Morris, however. That's an interesting story. I'll try to look for it.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Let us go to Reuben in Bellevue. Reuben, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Shalom Brucha.
Toda Rabah.
When I was a young boy going to Brighton Yeshiva in Brooklyn, we took a day trip to Manhattan, and we went to Francis's Tavern.
Mm-hmm. What
wanted...
a great place that is.
Right. It's a fabulous restaurant right in the stock market.
It's right near Wall Street, right. And it's one of the oldest buildings. It's one of the very few 18th century buildings left in Manhattan.
Right. And actually, George Washington and a lot of his associates used to go there for a beer and sit and talk and discuss.
Well, most famously, what happened is when Washington finally, they disbanded the army in 1783, when Britain finally signed the Treaty of Paris, ending the Revolutionary War, that's where Washington said farewell to his officers, and they all cried. The room upstairs, you can still see it, Francis Tavern.
Right, and I went upstairs, and they have a little museum up there where they had George Washington's wooden false teeth and some various other personal possessions of his. And I just thought that if any of the listeners were ever in New York that are into George Washington, that would be a great place for them to visit.
It's terrific. Do you know what they called Samuel Francis, who ran the tavern?
No.
Black Sam.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he was a freed, his background was at least partially, I believe, a freed slave. By the way, the population of New York at the time that New York was the capital was 20% black. They had a higher black population percentage-wise when it was the capital of the country in 1788 to 1790 than they do now.
That's interesting.
Yep. And again, many of them were still slaves back then, but they were also so-called freed, like the proprietor of Francis Tavern.
Right.
Thank you, Reuben. Thanks for your call. Let's go quickly to Mark in Port Orchard. Mark, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Great show as usual.
Thank you.
My question is it not true that the slaves were held as collateral, complicated their release as far as the lending institution?
Absolutely, yes, because one of the things that happened at the end of Washington's life was that he began running into trouble financially. Now, he turned it around and he died with an estate, but had it not been for the value of the slaves against some of the lending institutions, if he had started freeing them, people would have called in loans and taken some of his land. And your point is very well taken.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, A Portrait of George Washington.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The White House is confident it has the authority to cancel $400 billion in student loan debt to help Americans.
40 million Americans who need a little bit more breathing room, who need an opportunity to get back on their feet coming out of this pandemic.
Deputy Press Secretary Olivia Dalton making the comments on board Air Force One today as the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments in these student debt relief cases. A federal agency has been hit with a ransomware attack. The attack on the U.S. Marshals Service is being called a major security breach. Hackers were able to gain access to a system containing sensitive information, including data on fugitives. And a new report from Lending Club shows that a majority of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. The report says 60% of all U.S. adults are living that way. That is down slightly from last year in spite of inflation. The report shows that many Americans adjusted their spending to better manage their cash flow. John Schaefer, USA News.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is a need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved back with you. A number of you have asked, called in and asked, how did George Washington die in December of 1799, just before his opportunity to live into a new century? Well, what happened is he was back at Mount Vernon, having left the White House 2 years before. It wasn't the White House, it was the Executive Mansion in Philadelphia. Washington, D.C. hadn't been established yet as the capital that was to come, actually a few months ahead of Washington's death. He loved Mount Vernon, and he had gone out riding over his property, and he rode 15 miles one December morning, where in his diary he wrote down the following: morning cloudy, wind to northeast and mercury 33, a large circle around the moon last night. At about 10 o'clock it began to snow. Soon after to hail, then to a settled cold rain, mercury 28 at night. Well, the next morning, he rode 15 miles, came back home, freezing, cold, and depending on the medical experts you believe, he either developed a very bad case of strep throat or pneumonia. In any event, he couldn't breathe, and he lingered on, and his final words, as he was struggling for breath, by the way, he was terribly concerned. He didn't even call for a physician when he first became aware of needing one, because he didn't want to wake Martha. The physicians made his situation much worse. He was bled four times. They took blood away from him, and when you're 67 years old, that's not what you should be doing. Probably, if it was indeed strep throat or pneumonia, there's nothing that physicians at the time could have done to save the man. He was still very strong and in remarkable shape, again, certainly for someone of his age at the time. At the very end, it was the middle of the night, he was alone with his faithful secretary, whose name was Tobias Lear. He became worried at the end about being buried alive. He checked his own pulse. He could barely be understood because his breath was so labored. But after several false starts, he managed to say to Tobias Lear, "I am just going. Have me decently buried, and do not let my body be put into the vault in less than 3 days after I am dead." Lear bowed his assent, and then Washington fixed his gaze, that famous blue-eyed gaze on him, and he said, "Do you understand me?" Lear said, "Yes, sir." Then he said, "'Tis well." Those were his last words. One of the things about Washington that is particularly striking is he is known as the father of our country. He never had kids. It was his greatest regret in life. It wasn't Martha's fault. Martha was a wealthy widow, older than Washington, when they married. She was still in her 20s when they married. She was just a couple of years older than he was. But she had had four children in less than 6 years of previous marriage. Two of them had died in infancy. The only children Washington really had in his life were the stepchildren, the Custis children. Patsy died when she was 17, epilepsy. And Jackie, his very pampered stepson, and a useless, miserable, spoiled kind of guy. All the time George Washington was fighting in the Revolution, Jackie, his son, stepson, seemed to have no interest. He died, in any event, at the age of 27. Jackie, however, had married, and he left behind children of his own, and two of those children, Washington's step-grandchildren, in other words, Martha's grandchildren, were adopted by George Washington as his own children, because they were very young when their father died. What's interesting about that? Well, okay, here's the way it goes. Martha had a son, Jackie. Son Jackie died young. He had a son named George Washington Park Custis. This is Martha's grandson, who was adopted by George Washington. George Washington Park Custis was the father of the lady who married Robert E. Lee, which is one of the connections in Virginia aristocracy, and one of the bases by which Lee, his entire career, was absolutely haunted by the example of George Washington.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, A Portrait of George Washington. For more history shows, check out MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Supporters called it a spiritual awakening, but skeptics derided them as Jesus freaks. Now there's a new movie starring Kelsey Grammer about a true story from the 70s about turning California hippies into believers. It's called Jesus Revolution.
You're a pastor.
Yes, currently.
I know we must seem pretty strange, but if you look a little deeper, you'll see a bunch of kids that are searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places.
But those searching kids do give birth to the Calvary Chapel movement, which has become a powerful Christian force around the world. The acting here is consistently strong, especially by Jonathan Rumi. Yes, there are some heroes here, but no halos, as the true life characters live through problems and flaws. Rated PG-13 with adult themes, 3 stars for the intriguing, occasionally inspiring Jesus Revolution.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, A Portrait of George Washington.
In any event, you have to ask yourself this. Father of our country, if you believe there's a father of all of us who orders human affairs, why would the father of our country, this man who craved children, who wanted children more than anything else, be denied that one blessing that he most desired? A great and good man, never had children. 2 thoughts. One of them was something that struck people at the time. A number of people who served with Washington wanted him to become king of America. Part of the way you defeat this dynastic idea of a king who hands on his throne, Washington didn't have anyone to hand the throne down to. He didn't have any kids. But there's something more. Washington has no living descendants. He never had children. And that means that I am just as much his descendant as anybody else. My grandfather came to this country in 1910, one grandfather. The other grandfather came to this country in 1934. We're newcomers here. But I'm one of George Washington's descendants. So are we all. So is every new American immigrant who takes the oath and becomes a citizen of this great country. We are all children of the father of our country. And can claim that title, that proud title, equally to anyone else. Because there's no one who can say, I'm the real descendant of George Washington. We are all his real descendants. concerning his position in history. And we wrap up with this. There's a historian named Thomas A. Bailey. He wrote a book, Presidential Greatness, back in 66, trying to rate all of our great presidents. And he writes the following. Washington was the one truly indispensable man. With his towering prestige, unfaltering leadership, and sterling character, he was perhaps the only man in the history of the presidency who was bigger than the government itself. Although his every move could be deemed a potential precedent, binding generations unborn, his foot did not slip once. He made no major mistakes, something that cannot be said of any of his successors. If we must rank presidents, Washington, in my judgment, deserves the place at the very top. That is a judgment with which I think very, very few observers can quarrel.
It's not just at the college level. Students of all ages are being taught a skewed and false narrative about American history. That's why there's no better time to check out MedvedHistoryStore.com. There are so many programs available to share with your kids. Shows on the U.S. Constitution, our greatest and worst presidents, World War II, the Vietnam War, the American Revolution, profiles of great presidents like George Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, and so many more. Listen as Michael tells stories from our nation's past and brings them to life in vivid detail. No propaganda or biased analysis, just the truth. It's never been more important to teach our kids the true story of America's past. Our great successes, our failures, the triumphs, the trials, and, yeah, the blemishes. You and your family will walk away with a better understanding and appreciation of this great nation at MedvedHistoryStore.com. Check out MedvedHistoryStore.com today.
Hey, Michael, I love your show. I love it a lot.
Thank you.
I'm addicted to it.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to MichaelMedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team. 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694. AmericanFederal.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR.
EMDR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You're listening to a special Best of the Michael Medved Show.
If we lose that sense of gratitude for what this country is and what it has given to each of us, if we lose that, we have no future. Because, and this was a point that Ben Shapiro made in his new book, then there's nothing left holding Americans together. We have never been a country. I'm sorry for the 1619 Project and all those people. We've never been a country based on ethnicity or based on race or based on even a common religion. We are a country based on common ideals. And those ideals are beautiful. And they're worth fighting for. They're worth dying for, in fact. And everyone listening to me has some member of your family who has died protecting American ideals. I do. And I think about those people. My mother's first cousin, who lied about his age to get into the Army Air Corps when he was actually underage. And he died in the skies over Europe in World War II when he was 18. It's what our country is. So the question here, and there's a powerful piece by Jared Stepman, who I've spoken to in our podcast in Light of History before. And he asked this question. Were the founding fathers heroes or villains? And it matters a great deal which answer you give. Now, the great majority of Americans, of course, believe that the founding fathers are heroes, not villains. However, there is one disturbing trend. There's a notable nugget, as Jared Stepman puts it. Among Americans over 45, 71% of us think that our founding fathers were heroes. The way the question was asked, and this was in a Fox News poll, they asked the question, do you believe the founders of our country are better described as villains or as heroes? And they mentioned villains first. 10% of people over 45 thought that the founders of our country were villains. 71% thought the founders of our country were heroes. Among people under 30, 31% thought our founders were villains. 39% thought they were heroes. So it's almost the same. The others, founders, what? Founders, country? That they don't know. They're just too stoned or too busy protesting in Portland and eating from riot ribs, free food. They don't know. But still, you've got 31% of people under 30 who think that our founders are better described as villains. Does that mean that you believe that the creation of the United States of America, which is by far the most significant historical event of the last 400 years, there's no question about it. What else, what other development in the history of the world in the last 400 years has been as important as the development of the United States? It's changed everything for the whole world. And for the better. Or do people really believe that things were better 400 years ago? See, this is what is so crazy, it seems to me, about this fanatical desire to obliterate Columbus Day, to knock down statues of Columbus, to pour blood over statues of Columbus. Now, look, Columbus was not a peerless hero. And he wasn't one of the founders of our country. You know that Columbus never, ever explored the American mainland. He set foot on some of the mainland of South America, but North America, nah, he never touched it. And he thought until the day he died in 1506, he thought he had arrived in Asia. He thought the coast of Cuba, which he could see, where he landed briefly, he thought that was Japan. He's a little bit confused. However, by decapitating Columbus and throwing his statue into Baltimore Harbor and shattering this marble statue that had been placed there by the Knights of Columbus and people trying to defend Italian Americans, there had been a lynching of 12 Italian American immigrants in New Orleans in 1892. And that corresponded with the 400th anniversary of Columbus's voyage. So, okay, so they made Columbus Day. And to try to increase acceptance for Italian Americans. But the point is, would it have been better if America had remained undiscovered? What is it that people believe that you are hating Columbus for? Okay, given the fact that you have these tribal societies, virtually all of them Stone Age, by the way, that are in the New World, North America and South America, what should have happened? Europeans never come and settle anything. Okay, what should have happened? Just the ongoing development of the Native American tribal societies? Well, they continually warred with one another. What is it that would have been more beautiful, more just, more wonderful if there had never, ever been an America? If Captain Christopher Newport hadn't set up that cross outside of Jamestown in 1607, if the Pilgrims hadn't landed in 1620. This is truly problematic. Jared Stepman writes, a growing number of young Americans are not only ambivalent, but they're outright hostile toward Americans' national origins. If one wonders why there is such a ferocious effort to tear down statues and erase America's past, that explains the phenomenon to a large extent. The idea that among people under 30, 31% think our founders were villains. What did they do that was villainous? They set up the first government in the world that lasted for more than a few years. The first one, where actually the government derived its power from the consent of the governed. Where power wasn't simply passed on hereditarily. The whole idea of America was a country of new starts. That you could come here and it didn't matter if your father was a pauper and your grandfather was a beggar. You could come here and make something of yourself. And start fresh. And people have been doing that in America, including people who were originally brought on slave ships. The war on history, writes Jared Stepman, is not about any particular figure or statue, nor is it about simply correcting a past wrong to build a stronger future. No, it's about toppling the foundation of this country. It's about sweeping away America's past, both its institutions and culture, in an effort to begin again at year zero. America is more diverse today by ethnicity, race, and religion than it's ever been. If the once nearly universal attachment to our history and ideals, the very reason for America's being, comes undone, it'll be impossible to hold on to the concept of e pluribus unum, out of many, one. That's profoundly true.
If you're a fan of the Michael Medved Show, consider becoming a Medhead today. Your Medhead basic membership is $59.95 for a year or $7.50 a month. With that comes commercial-free archives of the Medved Radio Show. You can listen on demand 24/7. You get the In Light of History podcast, commentaries, Call of the Week archives, and Medved History Store discounts. If you want to go to the next level, become a Medhead Plus member. For that Plus membership, you get everything I mentioned before. Plus, you can stream every single audio program that's available in the Michael Medved History Store. Hundreds of hours of Michael Medved's insightful history programs from the Revolutionary War, the First Thanksgiving, the life of JFK, Ronald Reagan, and much more. Become a Medhead today at michaelmedved.com.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. With names changing on public buildings and statues coming down almost everywhere, the cancel culture now also wants to remake our money. A full page in the New York Times proposed new faces for our coins and bills, emphasizing diversity and artistic achievement, not political leadership. They wanted Marsha P. Johnson, a self-described black drag queen and activist, for the $10 bill, with Wilma Mankiller, first female chief of the Cherokee Nation, for the $5 bill. More than 50 other historical figures also received consideration, with white males mentioned only if they were gay or leftist radicals. This meant no Mark Twain, no Frank Lloyd Wright, no Frank Capra, no George Gershwin, and so forth. In fact, reviewing the Times list reveals an inconvenient truth. In the arts, as in government, the American tradition has been shaped, most importantly, though hardly exclusively, by males of European ancestry. Pretending otherwise counts as both ignorant and dishonest. I'm Michael Medved.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.